Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We live in a risky world. That's what they tell us everywhere you turn. What you do and what you don't do always involves some kind of risk. Don't smoke. That's obviously a very risky behavior. Don't drink too much. Eat too much. Fail to exercise. We know all about the health risks of all these activities or lack of activities. What about the health risks of oral contraception? Joining us for the last few minutes on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 11th, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We're really well-educated in a lot of ways on, I think the average citizen can rattle off three or four risks that are associated with smoking or overeating or a lack of exercise or any other of these activities or inactivities. Why not the same kind of public knowledge about the health risks of oral contraception?
You know, that is a good question, Todd. That is a good question. Why do we not know that there are health risks associated with it, much less exactly what they are and whether it's worth it to take those risks or not? You know, I think it's because the widespread use of oral contraception is part of what made the sexual revolution possible. And there are a lot of people who are deeply committed to the proposition that sex and babies should be completely disconnected and that both should be disconnected from marriage. And oral contraception is the thing that made people believe that that was possible, that it was possible to build a whole world, a whole society, around the premise that sex is a sterile activity. And so when health risks pop up, when you find out that oral contraception is associated with double risk of glaucoma, for example, you know, nobody really wants to talk about that. You know, let's just put that aside so that we can carry on with our project of recreating society where sex doesn't make babies.
Well, even if we're only going to talk about the realm of drugs, as people get older, they find themselves being prescribed more and more medicine by their doctors. And of course, you can get a list that is pages long on the most common, say, blood sugar medication. And you know the contraindications and you know all of this, and your doctors are very upfront with you about these things. It seems as though the pill kind of enjoys a sacrosanct status in the medical industry.
It's like its most favored nation status or most favored drug status. You know, we never say anything bad about it that would discourage people from actually taking it. And so, you know, a lot of women will take the pill and discover that it makes them feel bad. They don't like the way it feels. Years ago when I was on the pill, I felt like I was having premenstrual syndrome 3 weeks out of the month. You know, it just made me miserable, and so I eventually took myself off of it. But people are not warned about these risks. Every woman has to discover for herself if she's going to have bloating or loss of libido or she's cranky or the other symptoms that are quite commonly reported. What's more troubling are the long-term risks associated with using oral contraception for a long period of time, because those risks you won't be able to just feel for yourself and say, well, I don't like this anymore, I'm going to get rid of it. So, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, a study came across my desk. It came out from the American Academy of Ophthalmology. It had done a study finding that taking oral contraception for 3 years or more, women are twice as likely to suffer from glaucoma. Okay, and I'm like, wow, you know, who would have thought that? I had never heard that one before, so I did a little bit more searching and discovered that both strokes and heart attacks are associated with a higher risk, or, you know, are that oral contraception, let me back up, oral contraception is associated with a higher risk of both heart attacks and strokes, and the risk of getting a stroke that's associated with being on oral contraception is comparable to the risk from smoking. You know, so in other words, you know, there's a huge study from Denmark, 1.6 million women followed for a long period of time, and you looked at, you know, they looked at the risks of, you know, what percentage of them got strokes and heart attacks and so on and so forth, and the impact of intermediate dosages of oral contraception were comparable to the risk associated with smoking. And yet there's a, you know, huge outcry over smoking, and people are basically in the dark about the long-term risks associated with taking oral contraception. So, you know, if you ask yourself, well, what's the reason for that? You know, I don't know why I can't look into the hearts and minds of every doctor out there and why they don't tell their patients this stuff. But, you know, when you see the media downplaying these results in ways that they would never have downplayed the results of a comparable study on smoking, it really has to make you wonder, what are these people thinking? And I think that what they're doing is tacitly promoting and continuing to promote the sexual revolution.
You came across one Boston Globe article where kind of the tagline was birth control pills raise the risk of heart attacks and strokes, but only slightly.
I know. That just cracked me up. I'm like, what the heck? It increased the risk, but only slightly, you know. And, you know, for instance, people don't realize that oral contraception has been classified as a class one carcinogen by the World Health Organization. People don't realize that this is true, but they consider it safe because even though it increases the that means class one carcinogen means that it causes cancer in humans. Okay, that's what class one means. And so it causes cancer, several kinds of cancers, but it's a protective factor against a couple of other cancers, so therefore it's okay. We'll put it out there, sort of minimal labeling. But if you look at the kinds of cancers that are caused or associated with versus the kind of cancers that supposedly have a protective effect on, you know, the rates of those cancers, it's far more common to have breast cancer, for example, than endometrial cancer, which is the one that it supposedly protects you from. You know, so you have a list of, you know, the pill protects you against ovarian cancer, it protects you against endometrial cancer, but it's correlated with or perhaps even causes breast cancer and cervical cancer and liver cancer. You know, so it's a toss up. It's okay, but there are really three times as many deaths from the cancers that it causes from the ones that it is offering a protective factor to. So I would think, you know, I would want to have that information. I would want to judge for myself whether the risks are worth taking or not, you know? And so I think that the fact that people don't generally speaking know all this is just not a good thing. I mean, it means that there's an attempt to lure people into thinking that this is safer than it really is.
And as you mentioned before, with only about a minute here, what may well lie behind the lack of enthusiasm for getting the word out about the health risks is an unspoken, perhaps even an unrecognized presupposition about childbearing and sexual activity. With only about a minute, what is that, again, that people may not even realize they entertain?
Right. The idea that sex makes babies is an idea that we've kind of we want to believe that it's possible to break that connection between sex and babies, and the number of people who want that, you know, there's a certain kind of feminist who thinks that we need to free women from the responsibility of childcare, but at the same time, allow unlimited sexual activity without ever having a baby, that that's a kind of freedom. Well, it is a kind of freedom, but it's a kind of false freedom, you know. And in fact, there are plenty of feminists who realize that these health risks associated with oral contraception are things that are not good for women, things that have been downplayed, and that it would be far better. Even people who are not religious people recognize that there's something wrong with misleading people in a systematic way about these risks. And so, you know, I think it's time to just say that sex does make babies, and the idea that you can create a world where it doesn't make babies is really an illusion, and a very dangerous illusion.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be reviewing this book. Got it in my hand, from Joel Osteen's latest bestseller, no doubt, called Breakout. He says, all your breakouts begin with your thinking. God created you to be more than what you are right now, and you got to change your way of thinking. Pastor Tom Baker will help us review Joel Osteen's latest book, Breakout, tomorrow on Issues Etc. Then Friday on the program, we're going to get a review of Jesus Feminist. Ellie Caro will be our guest. We need to understand that the way we think about these things, especially as we have been created male and female, as we've been created to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, when we try to find a better way around how we have been created, I'm not even talking about the revealed word of God, but how we have been created, we always face consequences. I'm not saying these are divine retribution for our misdeeds, but they are the natural consequences. There is a created order. There is an order built into creation. And when we try and find a way around that order or outside that order, what can we expect? I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.